You would take your Bibles and go to the book of Philippians. We've been going through Philippians in the other fellowship that I do on Wednesday. I thought really what I wanted to share with you this morning is the love that we need to have for one another. Now, Philippians is a book that is probably one of the most personal. When you read the whole letter, it's Paul just loving, rejoicing with the people that he loves so much. They are the ones who've stood by him so faithfully, supported him and helped him. He's in prison now. I mean, he's under whether he's going to live or whether he's going to die. And this book is just filled with, oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so joyful. I love you guys so much. I mean, when you really consider the circumstances that he's in, most people get bummed out by their circumstances. And they get bummed out for the dumbest things. You know, I mean, just normal stuff. This guy is really live or die is going to be decided here in a really short period of time. And yet he wrote, at this time, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians under that kind of pressure in jail. And he shares with them in this book, Ephesians, he don't hardly even mention the fact that he's in jail. Colossians, very little bit. But in Philippians, he shares it with them, but not so that they worry about him. It's really so that they just see an example. And then no matter what's going on, it's about moving the word. It's about loving each other. You know? So it says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. It must have been a fairly large church because they had, you know, bishops and deacons. So he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. He makes request with joy. You know, think about that when you pray. You know, because we always bring to the Father the things that are burdening us, right? That's good. But do you get joy in your heart while you're doing it? You know, some people, they bring it out, but they're sinking in their heart. There's really a difference in attitude, isn't it? And it's really what goes on between your ears that determines everything. Your attitude, how big God is, how right near he is to you. I mean, in the manifestations where, hey, I'm always here. I've given you my word. It's the guide. It's the help. You know, I'll never leave you. When you talk to him in prayer, is it with that kind of joy, knowing in your heart? My Father is a present help in time of need. Or is it, you know, like you call 911 and you wonder how long it's going to be before they get there. You know, there's a real difference in attitude. But he prays for them, making every request with joy. For the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or adequate for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. the help that God has given me in my life. They are really partakers with Him. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in my bowels, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I yearn for you. You know, that's really, we're a family, right? We say that a lot. We sing that song, the family of God. You know, we desire to really be family. Spiritually, we're family. Do we desire and long to be in each other's presence, to have the joy of being with one another, to be able to see each other face to face, to be able to care for one another? You know, I miss this fellowship when I'm not here. You know, like in a couple weeks, I'm going to go to Rhode Island. Mary will run the fellowship here. But the point is, when I'm there, I'm still thinking of you guys here. I'm thinking of them this morning. I'm thinking of some of the other believers I haven't seen for a little while. I long to be with God's people. When you got the love of God in your heart, when you know you're in a family, you just have to want. And Paul certainly did. Let's just leave it with him. He was in prison, and it would take him, even if he was free, it would take him months. Maybe he wouldn't see them for once or twice or three times as he traveled around the Mediterranean. I mean, this is not a small distance. You can't get in a bus. The Greyhound wasn't around. You know, trailways didn't happen. I see they got leprechaun buses now. But the Shamrock or whatever it is, same stuff, different name. But, you know, he'd have to walk. Get on a donkey, ride in a cart. I mean, this was a tremendous effort to get from one place to another, and yet he just wanted to be with them so badly. That kind of love doesn't come lightly. It doesn't come naturally. It comes from a deep spiritual understanding that God's people are precious, valuable. And he's going to show that here. But he says, I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. The depth. I mean, the bowels talking about your guts, right? But it's a figure of speech. In the real depth of my soul in Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that you may approve all things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I think he mentions in four chapters, I think there's like 104 verses here, if I remember the count, in the book of Philippians. He mentions Jesus Christ, or Jesus, over 50 times. One of the commentators I read said he's really Jesus happy, you know, Jesus crazy. Well, what else do you want to be? He's the Lord. He's the one that gave us everything. I mean, I think the commentator's missing the point. It's because of Jesus Christ that I have this family. It's because of Jesus Christ that I have the blessings. It's because of Jesus Christ that I have a relationship with God. It's because of what the Lord has done in directing all of our lives that we have fellowship and not strife with one another. It's His example we live by. That sacrificial kind of living. It's His example that we live by. He's the one. It says later on here in the book, for it's God who, what does it say? In Philippians 3, got to read it. Yeah, 2:13 and 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know, the reason I can do, you can do anything, is because of Him. You got His counsel, His Spirit within you. Look at 2:13 Mary brought up. For it is God which work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Again, the reason I have God working within me is because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. You know, Paul isn't, this isn't just weird. This is an acknowledgement in this epistle of how important, central, what Christ has done for the body. And yet the commentator would have, and you know, would say it so foolishly. He's just like Jesus happy. And he meant, it sounded very, you know, off color to me, the way he said it. You know, for a real smart fellow that's writing a book. Yeah, I should be so Jesus happy. Every day. Every moment of the day. You know? And then he speaks to them. But let me go back here. I want to stress this point here. Go back to 9, verse 9, chapter 1. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more." Your love can abound more and more, but it's got to abound according to God's word and knowledge. All right? There are people who got a love, and yet it's not according to God's word. And there's a huge difference. Just because you're touchy-feely doesn't mean it's correct. You know what I mean? And you can help people so much that you hurt them. You can make them weaker. You know, I watch parents do this and grandparents. You know, I got to watch myself with the kids. You do everything for them. Your whole world surrounds them. It's about everything. They got to be happy. Right? And then the kid grows up in life and thinks that this is the way everybody ought to treat them. And then they're deeply disappointed and rebellious, and the whole world's against me. And what you've done is you've made them weak. You've not prepared them properly. That kind of smothering, I'll do everything for you kind of love does not prepare an individual for real life. It's just a simple example. I think you understand it, right? Well, it's with everything else that's in Scripture. You can give people too much. You can bear too much of their responsibilities. You know, Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's love. That's what God's word says. It's one of the reasons like socialism doesn't work and stuff like that. Even if you got people who are really, I was reading this when the Puritans first came over, they ran their group like a socialist society. You know, we were going to all pull, we'll throw everything in the middle, we'll do the crops, everybody will take a piece out of it, all the rest of it. It worked for the first year, and then it didn't work. The reason why is because of what God's word says. You have people who are, their nature is to sin, right? But then you'll have people who do it righteously. And then you have sluggards. The old King James. I love that word. You're a sluggard. You're a bum. You ain't carrying your own weight. That's scripture. Among God's people, there will be sluggards, and there will be those who are diligent. All of us are to strive to be diligent, to do the things righteously. All of us have sluggard days. Some of us have sluggard, I love that word, weeks. We're not perfect people. We're just not. Human nature will get the better of us if we are not challenged to go beyond and do what God's word says. And the only way you find out it sometimes is the fruit of your own life. Scripture says, you know, study to be quiet and do your own work. You know, your own work, both physically and spiritually, gives you great joy. See what I mean? If you see something in the Bible and it just electrifies you, that's you and the Lord. Nobody can take that away. You know, if you just had to believe, like we were talking about before fellowship started, back when, centuries ago, people were illiterate. And the clergy would say, well, just listen to me. I'll read it for you. I'll interpret it. I'll tell you how you ought to think about it. Because they couldn't. And, I mean, a book, something written like we have the privilege of having in our hand, this would be only the richest of all people could have it written down. Only the richest of the rich would have something written. And it was, you know, done by longhand. Common guy didn't even have the privilege of reading it. The gift that we have is just unbelievable. You can read it for yourself. You can ask the Lord as you read it, show me, teach me. Paul had and went and taught God's people to do these things. He was rich in his love towards them and them towards him, because he had ministered to them, loved them, cared for them. They were with him, and they saw him in action. And he says, you can love more and more, but you got to do it in knowledge. And you also got to do it in wisdom, judgment. When we walk in love, it's got to be according to God's word, and it's got to be according to righteous judgments. But I would that you should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me, that have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Remember, he's in jail. I want you to understand the things that are going on with me that are really moving the word, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. He is a prisoner that is the whole palace knows who this man is. And all the people in it. I think one other translation says the Praetorian Guard. This is in Rome. And in all other places. And many of my brethren in the Lord are waxing confident by my bonds, which are more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for a defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, he, no matter what was going on, he was just thankful Christ has preached. People were doing it, supposing to add pain to him. You know, and I guess, you know, it's like, you know, again, the people grab. You know, people have more motives or not. You know, it talks about in Timothy, don't do this for money. Don't do it for filthy lucre. People do it for power. People do it for money. People preach for, it's just a career. I'll never forget the one example, my father, when he was very ill, and he decided to turn to the Lord when he was having heart trouble. At the end of his life, he really didn't have much to do of anything with God all the time I ever knew him. Then he got towards the end, he knew he was going to meet his maker here pretty soon. So he sought out the preacher, and he lived in this retirement community. They all lived in a bunch of trailers. And one of his neighbors was a retired preacher. So he went over and talked to him. And he says, you know, I don't do this anymore. I'm retired. Now, I don't know about you. This rings true. I really don't want to be that guy when he meets the Lord. So you got to, why do you do it? Remember Malachi talked about that they wouldn't even open the doors of the house of God, the priests, unless they got paid. It was not about God. It wasn't about loving him. It wasn't about taking care of his people. It was about them. People do stuff about them. Envy, strife. It's about them. God forbid that we should ever fall into this. All of God's people, the people who love the Lord, they are his children. They're to be loved and cared for, whether they're in your church or not. You're to guide them and help them with the word that you've been given, where you show them, this is what God says. This is what your father says. Do what your father says. That's loving. Whether they think they like it or not, just like a spoiled brat kid, well, I don't want to do that. It don't matter that you don't want to do that. This is what you got to do. It's the same thing. You're dealing with supposed adults, but you're dealing with spiritual babies. That's love. I mean, that kind of care. Do you ever had, when I grew up in the streets of Astoria, all the parents in the neighborhood took responsibility for all the kids that were running up and down the street. If you did something in front of Mr. Greenberg's house, Mr. Greenberg made it his business to tell you what he thought of it, and then he'd call mom and dad and tell them that he told me. Nobody got away with nothing in Astoria. You had to go blocks away till they didn't know who you were, what your name was, in order to get away with something. And believe me, after I got older, I did. Just so I could get away with something. People took responsibility. As Christians, we help each other, right? You know, we don't do it exactly the same way. If I had salad in the middle of my teeth, wouldn't you be loving enough to tell me? Or if my zipper was open in public, wouldn't you be loving enough? You wouldn't embarrass me in front of everybody, but you tell them. Well, it's the same thing with the truth of God's word and other things in people's lives. You talk to them in such a way as, hey, I want to help you. This is what it says. You know, we do that for one another. To get back here, he did everything for the outreach of God's word. Didn't matter whether he lived or died, as long as it moved the word. That's Paul's attitude. That's his whole purpose. He's in jail. He might be given the death sentence. This is not what he's talking about. He's not bemoaning his situation. Hey, I'm here, and everybody in the palace has heard the scriptures. And even the guys out there that are preaching the word, even my enemies that think they're hurting me, they're preaching Christ. This is great. Because it's all about Christ. It's not about him, not about circumstances, not about anything else. You know, look at verse 25. It says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my continuing, by my coming to you. Only let your conversation, let your behavior be as becometh the gospel of Christ." So if you live in love, if you're doing his word, if you're really doing this for the Lord, then you are going to sacrifice what you would like to do and live what the word says. Let your behavior be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. You know, they're getting persecuted. Paul's in jail. These guys are getting persecuted. It's not looking pretty outside. Don't look pretty out in the world today. We're not living in an area at the moment that's got a whole lot of upheaval. But we could very soon. We might. One way or the other, whether you get persecuted or not, you got to know that it's possible. that you're not surprised when it happens. And this is about the gospel. And nothing terrified by your adversaries. You got nothing to fear. Verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. And then chapter 2, the example of Christ humbling himself and walking with God. Just one more place I want to show you. Go to 1 Thessalonians. That was the Philippian church, I think, was one of Paul's most faithful churches to his personal life. They took care of him wherever he went. When he goes to Colossae, the Philippians are the ones that send him abundant sharing so that he can do his work. And he won't take a dime from the Corinthians because their attitude is, hey, we're going to make you rich. You know, they had this, attitude. I don't know. I've been in places like that where that's what they think. You know, you're here to collect money, that's it. Well, he didn't take none. He just worked with his hands. That is what the work he had to do. Other churches still sent to him because they were blessed and they were on the right track doing it. But when he went to, I think it was Athens, there was nobody there. Everywhere he went, pretty much, he started a brand new work. But it's the Philippians that sought him out to help him in the ministry. And they were the ones that probably paid the rent when he was in prison in his own hired house. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Again, look at the heart and attitude, the example that Paul has with the believers. Verse 2, it says in chapter 1, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia, and from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. I don't need to tell you to do anything better. You're just doing great. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. They, those believers, show, they reflect back the manner that Paul, when he went there, you know, Paul was such a wonderful example, the care, the love, the sacrifice, the witness that he gave of his own life. They followed that. They followed it and they did it. And Paul didn't have anything. Hey, I got nothing to say to improve you. I'm just going to tell you to love more and more. These people, verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Paul was this example. And the chapter 2 goes into it even more so. So I was like a nursing mother unto you. I walked in there. I didn't trick you. I didn't use flattering words. I didn't give you half-truths. I told you everything about the gospel. I didn't try to bait you into it. He was set in Philippians for defense of the gospel. You know, he would speak it and correct people and preach it and have dialogue with them and show them, hey, this is the truth. This is the truth. You know, I want you to understand this is what it's all about. He would defend. He wouldn't just, oh, hey, you don't believe, forget about it. He'd have a dialogue. But in order to do that, you got to find out what people were there at first. You got to be interested in them. See, folks can tell when you're not interested in them and you're just trying to push your own stuff. Yeah, well, I want to teach you the Bible, but I ain't got time to really listen to all your stuff. Well, they ain't going to receive that real well. You go to the grocery store and say, how you doing, to somebody, they'll tell you their whole life, crying out loud. People want to do that. They're lonely. They want help. They want someone to talk to. They especially like it when they don't know you, because there's no judgment there. Doesn't matter what he thinks. I just get it off my chest. But you can have the opportunity right there and then to meet a need, their need, not the one that you want to give them, but their need. Do you see that? You know, when Paul was just grateful that they were preaching the word, and everybody got to hear it, everybody in the palace when he was in prison, everybody in town got to hear it in Thessalonica. In fact, this church was doing so good, and Paul's example to them was so tremendous, and they followed that example, that from that town in Thessalonica, it says here, Macedonia and Achaia heard that example. You know, your example means something. The amount of love you walk in means something. Now, grow in it. You know, and like it says in Scripture, I mean, grow in it in knowledge and in wisdom. In knowledge and in wisdom. I don't care how much you have loved and walked with God in your life. You can grow in your love, because there isn't a person I met yet that is equal to Jesus Christ and his walk. Even though there are some out there who think they are. Those are the ones that I'm more concerned about. But this is family. It's taking responsibility. Jesus is our big brother, the great example. Paul is number two in Scripture because it says, be a follower of me and the Lord. I mean, he really did copy and do what Jesus had done. He was a great example. What he's talking about is Jesus. But he's living his life in front of people in such a way that they're taking that example and they're moving the word. So that's what I wanted to share with you.